Welcome to my Love Life Podcast, episode number 221, Journaling for Emotional Wellness. It's February 23rd, 2024. I'm your host, Lisa A. Lundy, author, blogger, YouTuber, motivational speaker, and who knows what else, people. I am also a member of the Newsweek Expert Forum. What I do is I help people be happy, healthy, and well-loved, even when life is extremely difficult. As my disclaimer, this podcast does not constitute medical or therapy advice in any fashion. There is no longer any music for my podcast intros or podcast outros. I invite you to join the movement and get other social media content creators to ditch the music when combined with voice, which makes the content more accessible. End of non-musical intro. Journaling for emotional wellness. Oh my heavens, people. This was not on my list of topics. No, it was not. Before I dive in, I do want to say, if you're feeling suicidal, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Or call or text 988. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed. It happens to almost everybody. It's very common, although we kind of keep it in stealth. And the other thing I have to say is nothing in my content is designed to be medical or therapy advice. Journaling for emotional wellness. Well, I have to tell you, so I'm going to start with a little story. So back in the day, after I graduated from college, I was working for Xerox, and I had a very exciting date where a young man who had his pilot's license flew me from Harrisburg to the Jersey Shore for a date and then flew me home that evening. And I was telling my mom about the date afterwards, sometime later, and my mother said, "Lisa, you have done more exciting things in your young life than most people will ever do in a lifetime. You really should keep a journal. You wouldn't want to forget a date where a guy flew you to the shore." And I said, that's interesting. Yeah, I'll think about it. So I did think about it. And after a while, I thought, you know what? She is correct. I've had some very exciting, dynamic achievements and experiences in my young life, and why not? So I started keeping a journal. It was an innocent suggestion. She just was so pleased that I have had, or had at that point, such a what she considered to be an exciting life, that I did start journaling. Now, back in the day, there wasn't that much research on journaling. It was just an innocent suggestion to record good things in my life. And I'll say more about my personal experience later on. But I wanted to give you some snippets from the research. Now, it's not a huge body of research. But first of all, there's something called positive affect journaling. And that's abbreviated PHA. Didn't find a ton of it, but basically, positive affect journaling is an emotion-focused self-regulation intervention. It encourages people to focus on positive aspects of life experiences. I expected to find a very rich body of research about positive affect journaling, but I did not. So here are a number of snippets from the research I did find. Number one, a 2006 study by Stice et al. Demonstrated that writing in a journal can be as effective as cognitive behavioral therapy when it comes to reducing the risk of depression in young adults. So that was a study directed at young adults, but it's very interesting. Two, research in 2005 by Bakey and Wilhelm, and then later in 2018 by Ford et al., suggests that journaling can help us accept rather than judge our mental experiences, resulting in fewer negative emotions in response to stressors. Three, research has suggested that journaling can help manage anxiety. An experimental study conducted at Michigan State University showed that the act of expressive writing can clear your mind's worries and free up resources in your brain that can be put to use for other tasks. 4, research by Karen A. Bakey and Kay Wilhelm, I already referenced them, reports that those individuals who journaled for 20 minutes per day on only 3 to 5 occasions, or on 3 to 5 occasions, saw the following 5 benefits. Fewer stress-related doctor visits. 2, improved immune system functioning. 3, reduced blood pressure. 4, improved lung function. 5, improved liver function. So there is some research nodding towards health benefits from journaling 20 minutes on 3 to 5 occasions. Now, if you have blood pressure problems, this might be something for you to look into. I do also want to mention that a premier researcher, James Pennebaker, who I think originates before Karen Bakey and Kay Wilhelm, also reached the same conclusions. The research also shows that journaling can promote gratitude, that journaling about a traumatic event can help a person recover more quickly. That research is from UCLA experts, where they say written words can make an experience less intense, as in of a trauma. Research by Proventure et al. Found in 2002 that journaling can help speed up recovery from various psychiatric conditions. Keeping a journal can improve memory, and journaling improves emotional intelligence, and it does so by emotional confrontation and cognitive processing to help overcome negative emotional responses. Journaling can benefit relationships, your relationships, as you become more self-aware. The research also indicates that journaling can help you achieve goals if you're writing them down in your journal and increase your chances of success. It can also boost self-confidence and self-discipline. Now, from the University of Rochester Medical Center, journaling may help with the following outcomes, mental health outcomes. 1, prioritizing fears and problems. 2, coping with depression. 3, managing anxiety. 4, reducing stress. 5, tracking daily symptoms for better mental health management. 6, providing an opportunity for more positive self-talk. And 7, gaining perspective on day-to-day problems. That looks like some pretty good benefits. Next, expressive writing may be helpful to those individuals who tend to ruminate or brood. This is from an article in PubMed titled "Expressive Writing Buffers Against Maladaptive Rumination." Now, this is by multiple people from multiple institutions, Denise M. Sloan, Brian P. Marks, and Eva M. Epstein and Jennifer L. Dobbs, which is from the journal Emotion 2008, Volume 8, number 2, pages 302 to 306. So if you are the type of person who tends to brood or ruminate, there is that research piece that it tends to be to mediate against that or buffer against it. But there is also additional research I'm not going to include that also indicates that journaling can help buffer or mediate from rumination or brooding. Now, just to be clear, I've mentioned quite a few things in the last few minutes. This is not, however, a well-researched area. I really had to cull through research to find these little gems. It was not like memory or other topics where there's like a rich body of research. There's so much research. So there are the high points, which are very positive for you as a person, for your mental and emotional health, for your well-being, for your physical health. So I would like to just take a little quick sidebar on my experience. Because this, we've been dissecting Lisa, myself, since, 2018, but really on steroids since summer of 2022 to figure out, how did I get all these emotional processing skills? And journaling is probably the sleeper. I journaled for probably 30 years. Like, it was a long time. And I will get into suggestions of things I do recommend and I don't recommend, not research-based, but based on experience. I have also use journaling as a tool for people I work with or coach in a coaching capacity. I never journaled on a daily basis. Never, ever, ever. You may do that, and I support you. I support you in doing whatever works for you. I'm just kind of like, that is not what I would do or recommend, except for in the cases where I'm working with someone on gratitude. Gratitude is very hard for some people, harder for some than others. And gratitude is the only area, I think, in forever that I've ever recommended someone might keep a daily list. They might get up in the morning and write 1, 2, 3 things that they're grateful for, and same when they go to bed, keep it on a piece of paper, or they could have a whole journal. That's about the only time I have recommended daily writing. You can do journaling however you want, but now, having remembered that I had extensive experience in journaling, I would call it periodic journaling, it makes sense that this would be a huge piece of where I figured out emotional processing. It just makes sense. This is in addition to the 20 or so other things that we had already figured out prior to this, as far as how I got put together and what would have contributed to me having such high emotional intelligence and high emotional processing skills. So I have extensive experience in journaling myself, and in using it as a tool for people I work with. The suggestions I'm about to make, which I'm going to get right into in a minute, are not research-based. They are based on experience, both with myself and others, and intuitive things based on what we know from the research. I will say, though, I have not been journaling for at least 8+ years, which is probably why it just kind of fell off the radar as something that would have shaped me substantially. And I will say, I don't know what you're going to think about this, but nor do I care, but I will say, back in the day, probably 2019 or before, but probably 2019, I did actually symbolically burn all of my journals, all of them, in a little bonfire in the backyard. And before I burned them, I did page through them. I didn't read every entry. Oh no, I had books and books. One blank bound journal would last me for more than a year, sometimes two, sometimes more, a significant amount of time, because I would only write in a journal, maybe once or twice a month. I mean, I wasn't writing a lot. And I'm going to make some suggestions about what I would recommend or what I wouldn't recommend. But I did burn them all. And it was a symbolic gesture of putting the past in the past, starting over, starting fresh. Although when I did page through them before I burned them, I did see some interesting things that made me go, I wouldn't have said that about myself. Like, I apparently was taking vitamins after I graduated from college, which I did not remember. And I for sure knew I was financially prudent, but after college, I paid off my college debt, but I was living on less than 50% of my income. So there were some interesting snippets. I did record my goals and, lots of things in there. But so my journals are gone. There's no evidence. They won't ever appear in any publication. That's not why I burned them, but it was a very cathartic experience, and I don't journal anymore, but I'm still a fan of it based on the research I went over and based on my personal experience. So number one, here are my suggestions. Number one, my suggestion is that you commit to a fair trial of journaling. When I say commit to a fair trial of journaling, I do not mean, I'm going to try it 3 times. No, I don't think that's a fair trial. My suggestion would be you try it once a week or once every 2 weeks and try it for 3 to 6 months. One of my strongest suggestions is you give it a fair trial. Now, having said that, if you have never done this before, it is not going to feel natural to you. Nor did it feel natural to me when I bought my first journal to write about, you know, a date where a guy flew me to the shore because he had his pilot. Like, you know, that didn't feel natural, but I thought it was a good suggestion. I thought, yeah, she's right. Yeah. So give it a fair trial and understand it might feel uncomfortable. 3 entries is not a fair trial. I don't think 6 entries is a fair trial. I think you need to give it a go and give it a fair trial. Now, my second suggestion is that you make the journal, whatever you're going to use, appealing and attractive to you. I feel very strongly about this suggestion because you want something that has a good vibe or a good feel, like you want to pick it up. So for me, that meant it was an attractive cover. And I have done journals where I bought them, blank journals, and I have taken the inexpensive notebooks that they sell for academics and covered the front and back and inside cover and made beautiful, gorgeous paper-crafted journals. You could do it on a computer. Yes, you could. There is some research, however, that, you know, writing things by hand does something for your brain. I have no attachment to how you journal. I have no skin in the game except that this could be extremely valuable for you. I do highly recommend that you have something that there's a positive connection to. So whether that's attractive or however you do it, it has a good positive vibe. Number 3, this is very, very critical in my humble opinion. And number 3 is be balanced. Be balanced in your journaling. When I say that, I do not recommend that you are only picking up your journal or you are only journaling when you are angry, upset, sad, lonely, or having a tough time. Yes, those are great times to journal, for sure. But you have to bring balance and make sure you've got a corresponding number of entries of good things. That's my opinion. This is my opinion. This makes intuitive sense because otherwise it's just your angry, sad, you know, lonely, resentful, whatever journal. And I'm a big fan of balance. And so my request, my strong suggestion is that you make sure you have balance. And if you're doing entries where you're upset, angry, sad, lonely, whatever, or something bad happened or whatever, that you make an intentional note to yourself, okay, the next time something good happens or I'm happy, I need to make an entry. And again, I'm not saying you should do it once a week or twice a month. I have no idea what would work for you. I didn't do it that often because I was highly functioning because of all the other skills and abilities I had. So it was not the emotional crutch that it could have been or it would have been if I didn't have the emotional intelligence I had when I started. So be balanced. I think that's very, very important. Number 4 is free flow your entries. When I say free flow your entries, I talk to the people I coach and work with on this, is to when you sit down to do it, just keep writing until there's nothing else to say. Like that may be 10 minutes, it may be 30 minutes. I've had people who went substantially longer than 30 minutes. What this functions to do in my experience, in my humble opinion, is it gives you a chance to empty out your heart and your mind. The side benefit for really letting it flow until there's nothing else is that sometimes, on occasion, something will bubble up from your subconscious or unconscious mind, which is extremely valuable. That is like gold. So if you just sit down and you just kind of let it flow until there's nothing else. Sometimes when you look back, you go, oh, wow, look at the sentence I wrote. Where did that come from? So in my humble opinion and experience, free flow until there's nothing, and you may end up with some very golden nuggets from your subconscious, unconscious mind, which you normally do not have access to. Number five, notice and pay attention to your self-talk, your judgments, and your opinions about yourself. Just notice that. Number six, use your entries once you've gotten into some type of pattern, or you've had enough entries over a significant course of time, to look at repeating patterns or themes or relationship nuances or repeating situations, and see what you can learn. This is a tool that you can learn because you're kind of standing back. It's already happened. It's in the past. And then you can see, yes, that person has a tendency to blah, blah, blah. So you can use it to pick up on patterns, relationship nuances, dynamics, repeating themes, etc. Number seven, I highly recommend this, which is to use an emotional vocabulary word sheet when you're journaling to boost your emotional vocabulary and help you pinpoint your feelings. I personally am of the opinion, and I stand by this, this is an opinion, not a fact, that we as society have a very low emotional vocabulary. Our emotional vocabulary in the world, in society, in my humble opinion, is not rich. So, number one, broaden your emotional vocabulary, which will be very good for your emotional intelligence. It'll be good for your emotional health, mental health. But the other thing to do with the vocabulary worksheet, or without it, but is to watch for mismatched feelings. We oftentimes don't talk about this. This could be an advanced skill. I'm not sure. But when I say mismatched feelings, like when you have, there are many situations where if you really dug in, you would have mixed emotions about the situation. So you could be furious, hurt, and extremely upset about someone betraying you, which would be the predominant feelings. But you could also have some feelings of being relieved that you now know the truth. So many situations will have a dichotomy, if you will, of emotions that are not in the same umbrella and have different intensities. So looking for mixed emotions can be valuable for you emotionally, with your emotional intelligence and your health. Number eight. So this is specific to gratitude and gratitude journaling. If gratitude is a muscle that is lacking for you, or low, or you need to build the muscle of gratitude, I do suggest in those instances that you do a daily gratitude list. Some people I've worked with were so, it was so, this is the area they resisted. Like, they just would not be grateful. And for some of them, only a couple, I would suggest they would do a short gratitude list in the morning and before they went to bed, because this was like the area that they would not be grateful. They were just very ungrateful. Some of them were abundant in what they had in their life, but they were extremely ungrateful. And not to sit in judgment of them, this is their, I mean, people tell me the things that's going on. I wouldn't know if someone was grateful unless they told me. Like, how would I know that? So for you, if you are someone who wants to build your muscle for gratitude, or it's a trait that you don't feel like, you feel like you could be more grateful, that is the instance where I would say you probably, to really build that muscle and grow that trait, you probably need to do it every day. Whether you need to do it once or twice a day, I don't know. I do have a podcast on gratitude that might be helpful to you. But just understand, I'm asking you to be compassionate with yourself. If you have little to no gratitude in life, you're not alone. You're not alone. That is actually a common problem I have learned late in life. Number nine, Use my emotional processing workbook to help you in this process. Number one, I do suggest you learn emotional processing. That's number one. So whether you journal or not, I still stand by learn emotional processing skills. Now, the other benefit, though, of the emotional workbook, it's free. It's on my website. You don't have to register. It's right below the Newsweek logo, is that you can use the questions that are in the workbook as prompts for journaling. It will give you plenty of ideas of things you could be asking yourself or you know, might be valuable to ask yourself. So use my emotional processing workbook because it's free and it's a great tool. Number 10, if you are in an abusive relationship, that means an abusive family, or it could be domestic abuse, or it could be any other type of relationship where you're being exploited or used, or there's some abuse or something bad going on, I would strongly suggest that you keep your journal in a locked container or in a locked situation that no one can access. I recommend this because my experience, I'm laughing, but this is not funny. My experience with abusers is they have no respect for you, and they certainly will not respect your privacy. They will absolutely violate your privacy. They're already violating your rights and needs and wishes. So if you can't lock it up in some way where no one can have access, you might want to consider having it with you or having it at some other location. And I'm sorry to have to say that, but it is what it is. Number 11, you will definitely, I don't think, find this in the research, but based on experience, I do recommend for some things that you might consider writing in code. When I say writing in code, I am saying you are writing a sentence that you know what the sentence means, but someone else will have no idea. It will not have any meaning for them. And this way, if you write in code, which I did do, maybe not early on, for sure not early on, but later on for sure, you will know what you mean. But some other party picking up your journal, if they were to have access and read it, they might think you just went to a party. And your statement, "I went to a party," might mean something else. Like, you could write in code lots of different ways. And depending on your situation and depending on what you're writing about, it might not hurt you to consider that. Number 12. Record your goals and goal progress in your journal. Well, you could do that. I did that. Yes, of course I did that, because I've been setting goals forever. And I love goals, and goals make me happy. And I have a podcast about how goals can make you happier. And we know that from the research. But it's a place where you could catch everything. Of course, I don't want you catching only all the bad stuff. So you can catch some good stuff, some stuff that wasn't so good. Put your goals in there, your dream, whatever. But I definitely, it's a great place to record your goals and your goal progress, because you have it. Then you can look back. And I would do that when I would journal back in the day when I was journaling. I would write my goals at the end of the year, or very worst case, January 1st or January 2nd for the year, in writing, and I would put them in my journal. But I would also go back and look and see in my journal, did I put my goals from the year before it? Well, yes, usually. And I would compare and contrast and use them for setting goals for the new year. So it's a great place to catch your goals. And we know goals are something that can make you happy. Number 13, notice how you feel before you start to journal, while you're journaling, and after you're journaling. This process, noticing how you feel before and during and after, can help you build self-awareness. It can help you be more mindful. It can help you in lots of ways. But this is something I'm mentioning specifically because when people are growing and they're learning, and hopefully they've adopted a growth mindset, part of the process is bringing intentionality and self-awareness. We do a lot of things unconsciously, as I've talked about in other podcasts. So Bring some awareness before you start to journal, during and then after. Number 14, notice how you think. Now, this is definitely not something we're talking about out in the world, but I have a podcast on the power of your mind. I have a podcast on influences on your thinking and several other podcasts about your mind, your subconscious, unconscious mind. And I suggest for your growth and development, for your mental and emotional wellness, for all kinds of reasons, you get in underneath understanding how you think, because how you think gives you your reality. And in the podcast on influences on your thinking, I talk about 16 different things in life that can influence your thinking. That's not all. There's more than 16. I just happen to be able to come up with 16 of them. So when you're journaling, it's going to be wildly helpful, in my opinion and experience, for you to understand how you think. I know, we've known since I was junior high or before junior high, that I've had an optimism bias. That's just kind of like who I am. It's one of my biases. We're well aware of it. Some people don't like it. I don't care. But more people from the research have a negativity bias. And there's all these other influences that shape your thinking and influence your thinking that therefore then shape your reality. That's helpful. If you want to have a certain kind of life and you'd like to be happy and have abundance and have an amazing life, getting in underneath your thinking is critical, because we are confirmed in the research that it is your thinking that precedes your emotions. So get underneath how you think, what influences your thinking. Really, I hope you start with the power of your mind, because I love that podcast and I think it's a game changer. So if you bring a negativity bias to your life, if you have that, you have that. You'd be in the majority. But it's helpful to know that. These things are very, very helpful. They can be life-changing. Number 15. Should you notice in your journaling experience and process that there are things about how you operate or how you think or how you do life that are not serving you, that are not helpful, that are not productive or good for you, then you can use neuroplasticity to change whatever it is. If you're new to my content, I've talked about neuroplasticity over and over again, and I will continue because it's so fantastic. It means you can change anything about yourself, your life, your temperament, your personality, etc., with intentional actions or stimulus or stimuli or something over time repeatedly. But a journal and journaling is a very good tool for you to kind of pick up on things that might be counterproductive for you. That could be negative self-talk. It could be something about how you think. It could be certain people in your life. It could be you realize you're trauma bonded. Who knows? You could realize so many things. Of course, I never picked up on trauma bonding because I didn't know about I ever had trauma until I was done journaling. And certainly I only found out about trauma bonding in 2023. But you can use the journal to notice things that are not serving you, and then make an intentional change. Number 16, use journaling to progress in your mind-body connection. I am a diehard fan of the mind-body connection long before I learned the term psychoneuroimmunology, which I only happened upon by accident in 2022. So the research of the mind-body connection, or psychoneuroimmunology, is very rich. It's very deep. That bell will not be unrung. I'm telling you, people, the science is that deep. We will not unring that bell. We will only further deepen the science and learn more. But you could use journaling to start to get connected with your mind and your body. Like, how do you feel? You could use it to get connected with how you're sleeping or, what's going on in your life. This is a very rich opportunity in the topic of journaling to begin to pull together your mind and your body because they are connected. You cannot unconnect them. But we are living in 2024 in a world, in a society that does not acknowledge overall, generally speaking, the very impactful connections that can happen between the mind and the body. And I have talked about that in multiple podcasts and certainly in my podcast on psychoneuroimmunology. So even though I am, so there's what, 16 suggestions if you're going to dive in. And if you haven't done it, listen, this can help you build your emotional intelligence probably more quickly than anything else. And it is still a little bit of a shock that we missed this as we deconstructed. How did I get put together this way that we missed this? Well, I haven't been doing it for 8+ years. So it's not something I think about. I burned all my journals, so I don't have the, like, it just was like a missing. This is something that could very, very easily help you not only in the benefits I've already covered, but help you grow your emotional intelligence more rapidly than not journaling. But if you're going to do it, my suggestion is seriously, you have to give it a fair trial. Like, I remember when I took my kids to the UB gym to teach them how to play racquetball. First of all, they were pretty young, but they didn't like it because they weren't good at it. And I remember them saying, like, well, we're not going to do this again. I'm like, oh yeah, you're going to do it again. You're going to do it again. And you're going to do it again. You're going to give it a fair trial. I'm a fan of a fair trial. And of course, then they enjoyed it eventually. So if you decide to embark on journaling, or if you did it in the past and you didn't enjoy it and you're going to try it again, give it a fair trial. I mean, if you're going to try something, try it. Don't be namby-pamby and give it one shot. Now, there are a couple things I will say. I've never given a shot, and I never will give a shot. There's a couple things I did once that I'll never do again. But generally speaking, I'm the fair trial person. And be balanced. I think that is so important if you're going to journal, is that you make sure all of your entries are not all on the difficult emotions piece, which is where many people will go, because we know from the research that a negativity bias is more common. So that's that. So, and I certainly do recommend that if you're going to do it, find something that when you go to pick it up or arrange it in a way that it's like you have a good feeling towards it. That's helpful. And I absolutely know without question that using my emotional processing workbook will help you. Well, first of all, it's going to help you even if you don't journal. But secondly, it will give you lots of prompts and things that your mind can go thinking on. I hope this has been helpful, because this is really a sleeper tool that some of us are kind of chuckling that we missed this when we were deconstructing me. Like, we just completely missed it. And it's something that I did for like probably close to 30 years. But again, not having done it for 8, maybe more years, it's just like off my radar because I don't do it. So this is a tool that can help you in a myriad of ways. I've given you the benefits. I've given you my suggestions. I hope you will try it. If you're in the state of mind that you'd like to grow your emotional intelligence, this would be a great way to do it. You don't have to have deep problems to start journaling. I didn't have deep problems when I started journaling. I had a great day. So there you have it. I hope that's been helpful. I do love you. That's it for now. I'm Lisa Lundy saying thank you for listening to my Love Life podcast, episode number 221, Journaling for Emotional Wellness. I've given you the high points of the research benefits, the snippets I could find. I hope you'll consider it if you're interested in growth and growing your emotional intelligence. Please share this podcast on social media and help other people learn what they could get out of journaling. That's it for now. I do love you. Take care.